From our studio in Houston, Texas,
it's time for the Angry Admins Podcast.
Welcome back, folks. It is February the 19th, 2008, and this is episode 60. I am one of your hosts, Ryan Necessary.
And I'm still here, that other guy, Joe Bibby.
Oh, so in the world of IT news, Joe, what do we have this week?
Well, first thing I wanted to talk about, have you heard of Mr. DVD John? Do you know who that is?
I have.
He's the guy who kind of first cracked, I think he was the first to crack DVDs, which is why his name is DVD John.
Right.
But he's trying to go legit with a company here in the States. And the first piece of software coming out of that company is called DoubleTwist. Now, he's trying to go legit with a piece of software that strips all the DRM out of your music. So I'm not sure how that's legit.
Okay.
And it's also got a little plugin for Facebook that lets you share your music with other people.
Mm.
So not really very legit sounding, but...
So he's adding to the MySpaceification of Facebook.
Yeah,
that's bad.
It's kind of bad. But this DoubleTwist software is pretty cool. It looks like it works with just pretty much all the major, you know, Windows Media DRM and iTunes FairPlay. It'll strip the DRM and convert them into MP3s.
Nice.
Automatically, just drag and drop. So his goal here is to just kind of take the concept of receiving an email where, you know, you can send an email from anybody to anybody and it will be, he'll get it, you know. Whereas if you try to send somebody a song anymore, you're not sure, are they going to have iTunes, are they going to have to, you know, use up one of your five enabled computers, or is it, you know, whatever. It's just hard.
Right, there's all that mystery there.
Problem is, he's a little late to the game, because if I'm counting right, there's only like one studio left that's not publishing their music in MP3 unencrypted, un-DRM format.
Yes, but think of all the stuff in existing libraries out there that have DRM on
That's
it.
That's true. Actually, I wouldn't mind downloading this and converting all my current.
Right. So I can see it from that standpoint, that he's rescuing all of your Guantanamo-detained DRM to iTunes music.
Mm-hmm. I just don't see this as like a sustainable platform in the future. You know, if he was going into video, I could see that, because video, they're still pretty tightly held. But, you know, and maybe it does video. I don't know. I didn't really look at it that closely.
Mm. That's still cool, though.
But either way, it's pretty cool. You know, it's good. Well, Windows only right now. Mac is coming very soon.
Hmm.
And, you know, that's kind of that story. But speaking of Apple and iTunes, I've been thinking about the Apple TV again.
There was some news this week.
I've been thinking about getting one because the version 2 finally came out this week, and everybody's loving it. And, you know, they haven't hacked it yet, but I'm sure that's coming. I really want something easy to use in the living room that could play my files, my movies, because I want to rip all my movies, my DVDs to video files and play them back. And I can do that on my Xbox, but that kind of doesn't really pass the wife test, because she can get to it, but it's like several clicks and it's buried and the files are just the file names, so it's not it's not convenient, and it has to be convenient.
Like... the case and the thing and
well, you but she's been trained on that.
Right. Well, so
I mean, sticking a disc into a DVD player is pretty, you know, we've been taught to do that since back in the days of VHS.
Right. Which is the way I still do it. I don't have any of my movies ripped.
Yeah, you're still watching on VHS?
No. I'm still playing the DVDs.
Yeah.
In an ancient DVD player.
Well, and that's what I'm still doing. But you know, I want to go digital. I'm tired of, you know, there's the big HD DVD Blu-ray battle that just kind of finished this week, and
right.
I just want to skip over all that and go straight to digital. I don't want physical media anymore.
Man, that's so avant-garde.
I know, I'm awesome. But I'm just not sure if Apple TV is really worth the money. There, you know, there's other systems out there, but that one's really the easiest to use, and plus I haven't run network in my house yet, so.
So what do you think? Do you think that the selection of movies is going to be complete enough to make it worthwhile for that?
Well, I mean,
so this is what always happens with this stuff. It's like the technology finally gets to a point of maximum coolness, mm-hmm. and you want it, and then you start looking at the selection. It's like, well, where's my favorite movie is mm-hmm. whatever movie, and oh, that's with Universal, and they're on this other thing.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that always happens, but.
And I don't mind buying them on DVD and ripping them and adding, I mean, because I can add them to my Apple TV just by ripping a DVD, but it would be nicer just to buy it, you know, but then I'm in the DRM land again.
Right. And see, this is like the next format war, which is,
right.
you know, which download vector are you getting your stuff? Is it on Apple TV? Is it Xbox mm-hmm. Live? Is it on your PC, on Hulu or whatever? Yep. And, you know, so this is like the downloadable movie, all digital content,
mm-hmm.
you know, warfare. Yeah. I don't know.
I just like the idea of being able to access all my movies in a non-linear, I random access my movies via the network.
So you don't have to get up off your couch to just watch every movie you own.
Well, that and, you know, then I can tuck away all my movies. They don't have to be sitting there in the cabinet right there. I'd rather just be able to click on them.
But I like opening up that door and having 20 movies fall out in the dark. Yeah,
that's nice.
That's awesome.
Isn't that awesome? Well, anyway. So that's Apple TV. I don't know. It's pretty cool. Part of me likes it. Part of me doesn't. I'm kind of on the ropes there. But moving on to more news. Some news is coming out about Vista SP1 that has been made available to MSDN subscribers.
Mm-hmm.
And the word on the street is that it's actually not bad. SP1 has fixed some of the major issues, such as file copy speed.
Yes, I read that's supposed to be a lot better.
Yeah, a lot faster, especially for a lot of small files.
Mm.
That was really seemed to be where it choked. Maybe it's big files. I don't remember because I don't really use Vista.
Mm.
So, Mr. Vista, do you know?
I don't.
Let me put you on the spot again.
All I know is I've been copying files fine. And yeah. It doesn't seem fast. I will give you that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think over time, Microsoft has always been slow. I mean, this is something that we even talked about back in the Windows 95 days, was right. that, you know, the little animation of the papers flying between the folders, people used to complain, man, that thing makes it slower than the old days, you know, right. like the animation was chewing up so many cycles.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think maybe it's just the way it handles it, mm-hmm. or I don't know if it's, you know, some piece of the BitLocker that people have turned on but I tend to move larger files back and forth, like big chunks of MP3 mm-hmm. or anime or whatever, you know, big movies and stuff like that. So I'm trying to think, there's really nothing on my system that's made up of a lot of small files.
Yeah. It looks like it actually is the large files that are supposed to be the issue. That it's supposed to speed up the large files. So something with that. Nice. And, you know, a lot of new drivers are out. And
We talked about before, you know, the chipset. My new chipset that I have
right.
that supports multiple RAM types, it can't do the Hibernate.
Mm-hmm.
So SP1 is supposed to fix that. So
yeah,
that's
that'll be good.
That's why I've been wanting it. So
the other big thing that kind of came out with this is that they are syncing Vista SP1 with Windows Server 2008 SP1.
Right.
Which, if you know anything, Server 2008 is not out yet. So it is going to be released with SP1 built in. So that means we can just go right to it, right? Because it's got SP1. That's what we wait for.
No. I don't know.
My brain just short-circuited there for a second. Yeah, it's. I read a article. We won't have a link to this because I really have no idea where I read it. But there's a quote from a Microsoft guy basically saying that, you know, well, this will allow people to move to Windows Server faster because SP1 is built in.
So the only reason I could think why they would do this is if people on the TechNet or MSDN have already had the server and they don't want to go to SP1 right away, maybe?
I don't know.
I mean,
when you buy a retail copy of Server 2008, it has what they call SP1 already in there. And it's going to be labeled as 2008 SP1.
Okay.
The idea, I guess, here is really more than that, they're trying to get the code base the same. Right. So that then when Service Pack 2 comes out, it comes out the same time for both systems.
Well, I was wondering if they're trying to give you that warm, fuzzy feeling, because this is always what people say, well, I'm not buying the new Windows thing until they get to Service Pack 1. You know, it's like, well, no, Service Pack 1 is on launch day, so now you can buy it right away.
I mean, if people fall for that, especially on the server side, they need to be shot in the face.
Yeah.
But wow. Yeah, you know, I like the unified code base idea. I guess they've been trying to do this since since Millennium and Server 2000 came out. Mm. Those two were supposed to have the same code base, which didn't happen because Millennium, well, sucked. So they had to move to XP a lot faster than they thought. It was
the worst operating system of the millennium.
It was pretty bad. But yeah, let's see. So what else happened this week? Google has made some great, you know, Google is, this is one of the reasons they have stayed in the good graces of everyone. They are really good about putting time and money into open source.
Mm-hmm.
And they have put time and money into Wine, which is, Wine is not an emulator, apparently.
It's a recursive acronym?
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
But they have allowed Photoshop and what was the other thing? Photoshop and Dragon, naturally speaking, to run efficiently in Wine, which has never really worked that well, either of those. So pretty amazing. I mean, they have no reason really to do this other than, you know, Google likes Linux and Google likes to make people feel good about their company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can remember the last time I messed with Wine was probably 1999 or something like that. Because that was back in the early days of, that was when we still had AIX and... Solaris was big, and we had folks that were on Unix development platforms, but they needed some Windows stuff. So the Windows emulation was really, you know, being pushed really hard back then as far as the early development and Wine. And there was some other stuff that was just kind of being born around that time. But I haven't messed with it, you know, in a long, long time.
Well, I think the advent of, well, not the advent, but the move to virtualization has really kind of halted people's interest in emulation because, you know, virtualization, it runs almost full speed and anything will run, but then you're also running a full OS on top of it.
Right.
So, I don't know, pretty cool though. Google, I mean, that's one of the things that makes me keep liking them as a company, even though there's privacy issues with them and there's a lot going on there.
Mm-hmm.
They give back, and Microsoft has only really taken from us.
I know. They're so evil.
They are. Apple is not evil. Wait, no, Apple's evil too. They take and don't give.
They just have an evil leader.
Yeah. Well, Apple actually is pretty bad about taking from the open source community. A lot of stuff they run is on open source, and they keep promising to give back, and they don't give as much as they said they were going to back. So. Typical corporate bullcrap.
I know, man. So, what was this 360 thing you were telling me about?
So, 360, yes. Apparently, the 360 failure rate is worse than pretty much every other consumer electronic ever made. Like, they have a failure rate in 2 years, what some of the worst things have gotten in 3 to 4.
Mm.
And I saw another story related to this, that they actually had a Red Ring of Death Xbox at the Gamers Developers Conference on a Microsoft booth.
Wow.
Well done.
So I guess let me throw this out. Now I'm not exactly sure what gen my Xbox is.
You're pre-HDMI.
Right.
But like we got ours what, maybe 2 years in?
Yeah, something like that. So here's the thing I'm gonna throw out. Does it make it forgivable if the hardware is very unreliable if the company has a relatively fast, trouble-free replacement policy?
To a point, yeah, I would say yes. What do you think? It's forgivable, not that it's, you know...
Right.
I don't think it should be that way.
Right. I guess if the competition is the same price and it doesn't have those problems, I would say it's a deal breaker. But if you're coming in cheaper, then we'll say, for instance, Xbox was coming in cheaper than PS3.
Mm-hmm.
But
which they are.
Right. And PS3 doesn't have these overheating red ring problems, right?
Right.
So, you know, Microsoft, you can pretty much call them and go, my thing exploded. They send you an empty box.
Mm-hmm.
You put the thing in the box and it comes back a couple weeks later, fixed, replaced, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So not, it's not hard. You're without your system for a couple of weeks, but you know, it's just kind of the fact that it's such a widespread problem. You know, I don't know. I mean, this is the problem that everybody, I guess this, I mean, this is the discussion that people are having in their heads right now. Mm-hmm. And since this has been kind of acknowledged as an issue, you know, is it okay to make shoddy equipment if you're very generous about swapping it out? You know, I mean, are we approaching the age of the disposable game console that costs hundreds of dollars?
Right.
You know, it's like, yeah. Oh, well, that one bit the dust. Time for another one.
Although, if you look at the history of consoles, they're cheaper now than they ever have been. I mean, the price has been pretty stable on what a new console costs. Even actually has gone down.
Are you talking about like over inflation and over time?
Not even thinking about inflation. The price has come down. Yet, with inflation, the price should have gone up quite a bit.
Yeah.
And the technology is a lot better. And you're getting, you know, a much better system. But, I mean, it's 16.4% defect rate with the Xbox 360.
Right. So they're saying not only is this much worse than the other consoles, but it's much worse than, like, phones, right. DVD players, yeah. Toasters, you yeah. know, just whatever else, right. you know, that's out there.
And you know, I mean, the one good thing is that because Microsoft has billions of dollars, I mean, they're spending over $1 billion to fix the issue.
Mm-hmm.
And it does seem like it's getting better. They're about to come out with the smaller chips that are going to be more efficient and run cooler. Those are supposed to be coming out any day now.
Mm-hmm.
And these problems should go away. It's really an overheating issue.
Right. Well, it's almost impossible to have that warm, fuzzy feeling because now the average person walks into a Best Buy, mm-hmm. you buy some electronic thing, mm-hmm. and the first thing, you know, out of the sales representative's mouth is, hey, how about the warranty plan?
Right.
What if something happens to it? It's like, wait a minute. So you're telling me these things are junk? Mm-hmm. Oh, no, they're excellent. But what if something happens?
Yeah.
Well, what's going to happen? Oh, probably nothing, but what if it does? You know, because that's, they make so much money off of the warranties. Mm-hmm. You know, that's 100% profit for them.
Oh, yeah.
And they know people have been burned. So in your head, you're thinking, man, if I don't get this warranty, I know this is going to happen. I know yep. it's going to freak out and blow up.
Yeah, I would say the quality of electronics in general has gone way down. I mean, they're being forced to make it cheaper and cheaper, but give you more and more.
Right.
And, you know, it just doesn't, I mean, I hate to make this a statement, but they just don't last like they used to.
Right. Well, the other thing, too, is that in general, if electronics fail, they usually fail fast
mm-hmm.
after purchase. You know, so if you make it right. through the first few months, it's probably going to last until you throw it out.
Right.
I would say.
Seems like that.
It seems like that to be the general trend. Mm-hmm. I mean, roughly. If that is the case, then your manufacturer's warranty should cover it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where people get burned is, it's like, sometimes the fine print is, it's only covered by the manufacturer for X days after manufacture. So right. if your unit that you just bought has been sitting on the shelf for 6 months,
mm-hmm.
you might be already out of your factory warranty.
Well, and that's why you have to register. Because if you register, it actually starts that warranty
starts the clock right over.
When you buy it.
Yeah. yeah.
So it's, it is important, even though they're annoying, those registry cards are important.
Yeah.
But yeah. I think the big issue with the Xbox is that they've had this consistent Red Ring of Death issue. So 60% of the failures that they've been having are the Red Ring of Death.
Right.
And people were getting these. I mean, they'd have it a year and a half, and it would fail. And at first, the Xbox warranty was only 90 days, and they extended that to a year. And then now I think it's 3 years because it's such a terrible problem.
Mm.
And they're trying to make people confident in their system. But if they're not careful, if this keeps getting worse, this could be enough to push people over to the PS3, even if there aren't games yet. And once the people are there, then the games will come.
Right.
Because if you build it, they will come.
They will
come. Or if they come, you have to build it.
Because otherwise they're just standing there staring at you. My friends come over, so I got to cook dinner now.
Yeah.
I tell you what, man. I make this solemn vow. If a couple of good games come out this fall, I will have a PS3 by Christmas. To play my Blu-ray.
Oh, come on.
That I don't even know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
So I will say this, with all this HD DVD Blu-ray news that's been recently since HD DVD is dead, people have been talking more about the PS3 as a Blu-ray player, and mm-hmm. most people agree that it's awful.
Oh, as a player?
Yeah.
As far as like the quality and yeah.
Yeah, well, and it, I mean, the good thing is it's updatable, so maybe they'll fix it, but I guess, you know, there's not really any remotes for it unless you buy a third-party remote.
Oh, yeah.
So you have to use the controller, and I think we both agree that...
That's a horrible idea.
Yeah, that just does not work.
Right.
So, I don't know.
Man.
Oh, let's see. What else do we have going on? Some more Apple news. The new version of Apple's storage area network software, Xsan. Pretty nice name, right?
It just rolls right off the tongue.
So Xsan 2 came out, and with it came support for third-party storage. And what that means is that you can use Apple's software on a third-party RAID array, such as the one from Promise, which they're advertising on their site now because they have canceled, killed, and destroyed the Xserve RAID, which was a pretty cool RAID array in a nice, beautiful Apple hardware, but so, nobody bought it.
Yeah, well, that's what I was about to throw out. Who is buying these? Are these graphics companies that do video editing and need a lot of space, and they want to stay
exactly
all Apple?
Who's buying it? I mean, if you're running Final Cut Studio, and you know you've got this thing can be tied, you know, it's on your network. You can, you know, go high bandwidth over fiber to it and actually record directly to the RAID array.
Oh, nice.
So that's the kind of thing that this was designed to be for. You know, you're not going to see these in corporate environments because nobody's really running Apple servers as their main server.
But if you've got a multimedia company and you want to stay in all Apple shop, you're not going to go out to Dell and get some sort of Dell saying you're going to get this. Right. You know, that's cool.
So, but now it's all third party. So theoretically, you could just buy a Dell deal now and just buy this Apple software so that it integrates with your Apple network. Well, but it can be whatever hardware you want, which is kind of nice. The Xserve RAID was very, very expensive, much more expensive than anything else, as usual with Apple.
Right.
I mean, it was, you know, it was top of the line. It looked nice. It was aluminum, but it's going in a rack, and then you don't look at it anymore. So why does it need to be beautiful?
I look at it. I look at my firewalls and my RAIDs. Yeah. I pet it.
Now you're just getting creepy.
I know. That's pretty bizarre. Yeah, moving on.
Let's see. The last thing I had to talk about is Mozilla is officially making Thunderbird a subsidiary, which means that they're actually going to focus on developing it a little bit more. Thunderbird is now part of Mozilla Messaging. And what this means is they're going to really try to push this into the Outlook level of quality, integrating their calendar software, which I think is called what is it called? It had some terrible name for it, like Lightning or I don't know. I have tried out the latest Thunderbird, and it is a lot better than it used to be. I've never been a huge fan of Thunderbird. I know there's a lot of followers out there, but to me, Outlook is just, even though it's a little bloated, it's really nice. And I'd love to see some competition out there in the open source community.
Well, I was one of the people that is... At the same time that everybody was drinking the Firefox Kool-Aid, I was drinking the Thunderbird Kool-Aid along with it. I mean, I went to both at the same time, pretty much, and I loved Thunderbird over Outlook Express for home email and used it almost religiously until Gmail started using that, and then now I'm completely on Gmail. But I still use Thunderbird for, like, my Comcast mail, so that kind of stuff, so...
Yeah, I started using Thunderbird again recently because because IMAP opened up for the Google hosted email.
So it's
been
that.
On Gmail for a while, but I used that. And part of the reason I set it up was because I needed to do some encrypted email, which you can't do in Gmail, but you can do it through Gmail. So, there's some nice plugins for Thunderbird. You know, it's one of the advantages of it is it's got those plugins just like Firefox and made it really easy to do that. So,
and you can use themes.
Yeah, actually I like the themes because I mean, while I like Outlook, it's ugly.
Right.
I mean, you know, Crayola land. I say that, but I haven't tried out 2007 yet. Although, we don't need to talk about the Mac. The other part of the story is that they are going to try to develop instant messaging software because there's not enough of those out there.
Right. Oh man. Why not?
Yeah.
Why
not? Hey, everybody
Let's have
else
another
is doing
one.
It. I don't know.
Don't be the last one on your block to develop an IM client.
That's right. And I bet it will work with multiple services. Can you believe that?
No, I can't.
That is revolutionary. It is. Circa 1997.
Hello, Trillian. No. I mean, you have to. If you're going to come to the table this late, I mean, yeah. you gotta be bringing the multi-platform.
Yeah. Thing. I mean, that's all there is to it. So.
Yeah. Whatever.
Hey, if it gives another decent chat client for the Mac, then I'm all for it. Because really, there's only one, and that's Adium. iChat is pretty much suckitude. it's all like bubbles and, you know, too many windows, and they have cool video, but man, that's just it's terrible.
Yeah, well,
they can't do everything right.
I don't know. I can't believe this is you telling me this.
Well, you know, they're not giving me my 3G iPhone
to be backed up with your freaking what is the thing, the stupid time machine. Oh man, every podcast we're coming back to this. Like Angry Admins brought to you by Time Machine, the latest backup software from Map.
Who is going to make a 3G iPhone?
Man.
Yeah, no, I couldn't help it.
That's fine. All right, folks, that's going to wrap up another episode of the Angry Admins podcast. Feel free to stop by our website at angryadmins.com or drop us an email at feedback@angryadmins.com if you have anything good or bad to say to us.
Yes.
If you would like to see some links to any of the great stuff we talked about this week, feel free to stop by the website and we will have show notes and some URL linkage to all of the cool stuff that we mentioned.
Magical.
It is. It's awesome. It's hypertext.
Did you know that those files don't reside on your computer when you look at them?
I do.
Isn't that amazing?
That's amazing that I'm looking at stuff that's on someone else's computer. That's crazy. So until next week, I am Ryan Necessary.
And I'm Joe Bibby.
Stay angry.